Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Sex. That word almost always attracts attention. Perhaps it's a subject you're comfortable with and open about. Maybe you still drop your voice to a near whisper if you talk about it. Yes, today Eve and I talk about women, men, orgasm, toys, but we reframe the subject, sexual health. It's important at any age, but as we get older, several conditions are more likely for us than for young people. Vaginal dryness, erectile dysfunction, pain. Admitting to and treating conditions early will help us have active, fun sex lives longer than if we don't. Listen now. Sexual health, something a lot of people don't want to talk about. Many people of our generation still drop their voice if the subject comes up. I've had sex therapists on before, and they all have a few things in common. They're fun, they have a playful side, and they are wide open to wherever the conversation goes. Today's guest approached me some time ago. When I looked at her profile, I decided immediately this was going to work. She was wearing a top with the words orgasm equality exclamation mark in big bold letters across the front. Now, Eve isn't just about the orgasm. She is a professional, having been practicing physical therapy for over 20 years, and she's focused her specialty in sexual health. She treats conditions such as erectile dysfunction and its female equivalent, decreased sensitivity and dryness. She takes a multifaceted approach that looks at nutrition and other factors. Shall we get started? Eve Hall, welcome
Absolutely.
to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I just love getting into, I will say taboo subjects, but only because for some people it is taboo. Okay, jumping right in, Boomer Women and Sex. It can be that taboo subject. We have enough obvious signs of aging without also admitting to the unseen signs of aging, such as vaginal dryness, pain, body changes, lack of energy, even perhaps boredom. What other issues do you hear about in your practice?
Absolutely. So I hear a lot about incontinence. That's something that I treat very often. Painful sex, believe it or not, is another one that comes up quite a bit because as the tissues sort of degenerate and become thinner in the vaginal walls and in the labia and clitoral area, they become much more sensitive and they can easily become chafed or even have some small tears, which can cause a lot of pain during sex. So that's something that I also treat in my practice. But incontinence is a huge one, and nobody wants to talk about incontinence, right? But 40% of athletes in their 20s experience incontinence while they're having, while they're doing their sport. And, incontinence goes up as you get older. And, if you've had children, oftentimes you'll have some stress incontinence after that, that can follow you if you don't treat it. And a lot of people don't think about treating it because they're ashamed or embarrassed. So my messaging is always that there's absolutely no shame in having any kind of sexual health condition.
I feel proud of myself because I always come with notes, and in my notes, I have talked about the incontinence factor because it is a fact of life, especially as a lot of women get older. Now, I like what you said in your profile that sexual health conditions are as valid and worthy of treatment as any other condition a person might suffer from. The sooner you tackle any condition, the better your results. That because of shame, many people wait very long to even report issues with their doctors. And the more severe the condition, the harder it will be to show improvement. How common is that? Just putting it
So
off and putting
common,
it off, yeah.
so common. And, a lot of times people don't want to admit it to themselves that they have a sexual health condition. They kind of just put it in the back of their head and they ignore it for a long time. And then when it becomes too difficult to ignore, they don't talk to their partners about it. So oftentimes I will have clients come to me and, they're plinth, ready to get the treatment, which is acoustic wave therapy, one of the treatments that I do for instance, for erectile dysfunction. And they'll say, you know, my wife or my partner doesn't know that I'm here. And I end up being their, you know, quote unquote, dirty little secret, which is unbelievable to me because they're there for, you know, a physical health condition. It's not, you know, something that is made up in their mind. You know, this is actually something physically wrong with them, and they are ashamed to talk to their partners about it. So it's extremely common that people are not having these conversations with each other. Even the most, you know, even the closest person to them being their partner, they're not talking about it.
Part of me wants to shake my head that something so part of the human condition, and yet it's just, yeah, not talked about. I wonder where that started. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to start with some of the obvious conditions. Mm-hmm. Vaginal dryness. Now, you talked about pain briefly. Is pain only because of vaginal dryness, or do they go hand in hand?
Well, pain can be not just because of vaginal dryness, but that is one of the factors that can make it more painful as you get older if you're not using a lubricant. And I always say that whether you're 20 or you're 90, lubrication is a beautiful thing. So everybody should be using lubrication because no matter what, there's only so much lubrication that your body can naturally produce. And if you're having a lovely extended sex, you know, and it's not only a few minutes long, you know, the amount of lubrication that a woman can produce will eventually evaporate with the friction of the activity. So always using lubrication is really, really important.
Okay. Now, you mentioned erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
That's a man's issue, but obviously mm-hmm. can affect his partner.
Absolutely.
Where does I can't imagine that a woman wouldn't notice.
Exactly. I mean, a woman would notice unless they just stopped having sex, you know, and that's common in marriages and in long-term relationships. So, you know, however that affects a couple, sometimes the woman might not even know that their partner has erectile dysfunction and they're just not having sex for one reason or another. And so the problem is sort of undetected. But yes, erectile dysfunction is one of those conditions that as we get older, you know, men tend to have that problem more significantly. However, 20% of men in their 20s have some form of erectile dysfunction. It's very common. And it goes up 10% per decade. So 30% in their 30s, 40% in their 40s, 50% in their 50s, et cetera. So it's an extremely common condition. And many times people wait until it is in the severe state. And at that point, it's much more difficult to treat.
So is it inevitable then for a man?
It's not, because if we say 50% of men in their 50s have it, there's another 50% that doesn't have it, right? And that's functioning normally. But, you know, paying attention to the small changes in your body and trying to target those issues as they come up instead of waiting for years and years and having a condition that is following you for such a long time, that's when you really want to treat the condition.
Now, I've had a women's incontinence doctor on before, mm-hmm. and it's such a major thing insofar as it's embarrassing. I was going to say inevitable. I wonder, like, I guess I tell the story of after having three kids, my next door neighbor got a trampoline. And I used to trampoline when I was a kid. So it's like, oh, I'm going to get on here and show what I can do. And it was bounce, bounce. And oh my God, I've got to get off of here. So can you go a little deeper into the incontinence factor? Because when I talked to that incontinence doctor, I had a variety of people coming up to me saying, oh my God, I love that episode. Thank you so much for talking about that because, yeah, I am one of those people.
Yes, and it's so incredibly common, just like you said, and jumping is one of those activities that really causes a lot of pressure on that sphincter muscle. And, you know, so the pelvic floor is something that I treat in my practice, and strengthening all of those muscles is so key. A lot of times, you know, people think, oh, Kegels, Kegels, let me do Kegels. But that's not always what you need. If you're having spasms in those muscles, the spasming needs to be reduced first in order to then later strengthen. But it, so it really depends. If you're having incontinence, I highly suggest that you find a pelvic floor therapist near you so that you can go and get treated, because it is very treatable. And, you know, the therapist is going to give you exercises that are very specific to you. So for instance, I had a client who liked to do very high level, strenuous activities. And one of those things, you know, that she would do during her workouts was jumping rope. And so we would practice jumping rope. We would count the amount of times, you know, that it would take for her to get to the point where, oh, there was a little leak there, you know, and then we would try to modify so that she could still do the things that she wants to do, but making modifications along the way so that she's not having those embarrassing situations.
Now, you mentioned spasming. Can you, as a pelvic floor therapist, figure out whether it's weak muscles, spasming, all the other variety of reasons? Like, can you tell why?
Absolutely. So we do an internal examination, and the internal examination touches upon every single muscle in the pelvic floor. And we can feel if there's spasming happening. And if there are spasms happening, we treat them along the way. There's also ways to check to see what type of weakness you have in your pelvic floor and vaginal walls. There's various different tests that you do. So the therapist will ask you to do some contractions, and they will be feeling the resistance that you're giving, the amount of time that you can hold the contraction, and how often or how quickly you can do contraction after contraction. So there's various different tests that we do to determine where the baseline is for strength and where we want to get to.
This is a strange question, but do you ever talk to women and the very moment that you mention a Kegel, they do tighten up, like just automatically?
Yeah, they suddenly, oh. Yeah.
Sitting 1 inch taller.
Yes, that's funny. Yeah, but you know what? Any type of Kegel, any time is a good thing. So, and it's good for men too. You know, a lot of times people think that it's only an exercise for women, but men have a pelvic floor as well. It supports, you know, the bottom half of the pelvic girdle. So it's very important in both men and women.
I lead a seniors exercise class. These women are mostly in their 80s and 90s now. And I still tell them, you know, you're sitting at a red light, or you're sitting just, you know, waiting for the kettle to boil. What? Just sit up a little higher, tighten it all up, keep it in shape.
So very good, you know, thing to tell people, because it's very important. You know, our vaginal health, our sexual health is part of who we are, you know, as women. And so I definitely like to, you know, talk about these subjects, even though a lot of people don't. But that is what, you know, my message is all about, is really destigmatizing these conversations so that they're not so embarrassing anymore. You know, and the more conversations you have, the easier it is to have these conversations.
We've only just met, but I also get the feeling that you could take a subject that, say, I consider embarrassing, or, you know, something I shouldn't be talking about to somebody else, a stranger, and find that playful side of it, of like let's keep this, turn the lights on this thing and just, keep it out in the open.
I love that you said turn the lights on. Yes, we have to have the lights on for these conversations. This is not a hush, hush, let's whisper under our breath type of conversation. These affect our, you know, our health, our, you know, sexual health. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're not having a healthy sex life, you know, you're not living life to the fullest. So it's good to, you know, focus on the things that make you happy. And, you know, for adults, sex is where we play. That's our playground. So, you know, focusing on making sure that all the parts are working is really important.
That might be a really good segue into just the concept that our audience is boomer women. Many of them were brought up with the don't ask, don't tell parents. They entered marriage thinking sex was the man's thing, and they were to oblige, and never realized they could be equally energetic, shall I say, and satisfied. What do you say to them to convince them that being the instigator, being a full partner, can be fun?
I think a lot of women assume that their partner knows everything that they're supposed to do to please them, right? Because like you said, we think of sex as the man's thing, right? But it takes two to tango. And, you know, the man can experience pleasure, but the woman can also experience pleasure. And actually, our clitoris has more nerve endings, pleasure nerve receptors, than actually the man's penis does. So we have the ability to have even more amazing pleasure than even a man. So it's super important to, you know, think about these things and to really have conversations so that people feel more comfortable talking to their partners about what pleasures them, what feels good to them. And oftentimes those things are not communicated. We just assume that our partners know what they're supposed to do, right? And unfortunately, that is not the case. So I do love to encourage women to explore their bodies, really from head to toe, because even though there are erogenous zones in our bodies, our entire bodies are wired for pleasure. If you've ever had a massage and they massage your head, you're just like, ah, oh, that feels so lovely, you know, or your back or your feet, you know, every part of your body has pleasure receptors. So exploring your body and really understanding what helps you to relax, helps you to feel good, and helps you to have an orgasm, you know, is important so that you can communicate that with your partner. And also not being shy about, if that is the case, that a toy helps you to get there, right? To bring that into the bedroom. And I think that that is sometimes a big roadblock for a lot of women. They don't want to tell their partner that they like to use a toy to get there, or they don't want to bring it into the bedroom, even though they can get there with the toy. They don't translate it to the bedroom. So I feel like, you know, really trying to open up those conversations with your partner so that you can get your needs met. We all deserve pleasure.
The analogy that I was thinking in my head as you were saying that is, one of the other great pleasures in my life is food.
And, yes,
you know,
me too.
We will talk about that, you know, well, let's add a bit more of this. Let's try that this way. Let's, you know, whatever. But when it comes to sex, it's like button the lip. So.
Right. And, you know, I encourage people to, you know, write down a top five things you want to try, because, you know, everybody's got a top five things they want to try, right? And just pick one, you know, that you kind of broach the subject with. What do you think about this idea? Do you think this is something that you would like to try? Or let me know what your top five things are, and maybe we have things in common that we both want to try. That's an easy place to start. But really opening up those conversations, because you're absolutely right. We talk about all sorts of other things in great detail, and I love to eat too. So I fully understand. I'm a hydroponic garden nerd. So I'm always cutting my little herbs and throwing them into my smoothies and into my meals. So I love to cook as well. And I love to talk about food, and I love to talk about gardening. But, you know, I also equally love to talk about sex.
Okay, you've already mentioned a few subjects that I want to get to, but okay. Just in terms of us older women, maybe we've been married for 30 plus years, 35 plus years, the old boredom factor might be coming in, same person, you know, same whatever. How do they sort of get around to that? And I'm thinking as I say that, well, maybe they should just listen to this podcast episode with their partner. But
yes.
How does she start the subject in a non-judgmental way? Because we don't want them going, oh, I'm no good. After all these years, you're saying I'm no good. How do they do that?
I agree. And the conversation has to be non-critical. So I would just have the person really think about the last lovely experience that they had. It could be sensual. It doesn't have to be sexual, but really kind of focusing on what the details of that experience was and what made it so lovely for you. And then being able to translate that and have a conversation with your partner about how wonderful that was and how you would like to maybe expand on that in a different way, you know, and that's a good segue into having a conversation with your partner, starting with something that's familiar and then building upon that.
Well, I'm thinking too that if there is some sort of an issue, that it doesn't always have to be, as you said, sexual. That sensual can be just a fabulous, intimate thing.
Absolutely. And for instance, if there's erectile dysfunction happening, and this is an ongoing problem that has been there for a long time, it may be very possible that the man will not be able to get hard enough to even insert for penetration. But when you think about what a woman needs, to reach orgasm, 95% of women need clitoral external stimulation in order to orgasm. So penetration is not necessarily the biggest thing for us, right? Trying to talk to your partner about what really does work for you is key. But you're right about that for sure.
Now, the other facet that maybe we need to talk about is the fact that we're all older, both us and our partners. There might be other health issues that make us nervous about the physical excitement of sex. How often do you see that? Like, is that where you just keep it with the sensual? Or?
Well, one of the things that I have to say is that with erectile dysfunction and decreased vaginal sensitivity and dryness, these are blood flow problems, right? So blood flow problems can be precursors to heart disease. So if you have erectile dysfunction or you're having severe vaginal desensitization and dryness, it could be a precursor to you having a blockage in your heart, for instance. So I often tell my clients to, you know, check with their cardiologist or go see a cardiologist if they don't have one to be sure that they're, you know, healthy for activity. And a lot of times what doctors will do is they'll give you the little blue pill, right? They'll give you Viagra or Cialis. And those medications can, you know, are dangerous for your heart. They elevate your blood pressure. They elevate your heart rate. And if you have a clot, they can loosen that clot and, you know, not the medication itself, but because the blood flow, because the arteries open up, they can cause a clot to unlodge, and you know, then it can, you can become, you can have a heart attack or you can have a stroke. So there are, you know, conditions that you have to really be careful about. And a lot of times people think that those little blue pills are an actual cure for erectile dysfunction or, you know, and they're not. They do not cure the condition. They basically just cover it up until your arteries are so blocked that they no longer work. So, you know, focusing on a more holistic treatment is what I do in my practice. And that is the acoustic wave therapy that I spoke to you about before. And if you want me to, I can go into that now.
We are actually going to go into that shortly.
I'm just going to
go back with the health issues. What I'm thinking about is if one person already knows that they have a heart issue or something like that, and they're thinking, oh, I better not have sex because I could have a full blown heart attack.
Right.
What about that?
I mean, you have to think about your body and yourself and think about what sorts of things you can and cannot do. So, you know, if you have a heart condition, maybe you're not going to, you know, focus on, you know, the positions that are going to be super strenuous or get your heart really elevated. You may want to have some positions that are maybe more relaxed and not, you know, get your heart rate so high. And also focusing on the breathing, which can also decrease your heart rate, and focusing on being slow as opposed to fast, which sometimes feels even more amazing, you know? So I love having clients that will come to me and say, oh, I really want to have sex with my partner, but for instance, I have a knee problem and or a back problem. Like, what can I do? You know, what sorts of positions can I you know, get into to, you know, have fun, but that are not going to cause injury. And so those are the position, those are the clients that I really love to have, because then we get to experiment and talk about different things that they would like to try. And, you know, they're always very, very thankful about having those conversations, because a lot of practitioners are not going to tell them these sorts of things, you know, so it's very helpful.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. I hadn't even thought about things like knee issues and back issues. I was sort of thinking about the old heart attack, because it's sort of a running joke in many circles. Now, you had some talking points that interested me. What is big clit energy?
So big clit energy is the energy or the attitude or confidence that a woman has if she has an amazing sex life. If she is on her path to sexual liberation and she's having orgasms on a frequent basis, she is going to be much happier of a person. And that translates, you know, that confidence translates to all areas of our lives. It can translate to the boardroom. It can translate to being on a podcast. And, you know, feeling confident talking to other people about certain things. It can translate to, you know, the meetings that you're having or the presentations that you're doing, all of that. So having big clit energy, I think, is definitely a goal that we should all have.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, you mentioned toys earlier.
Yes.
Talk toys for a moment. I remember going to one of those parties, and the woman that was running it was so much fun and so knowledgeable that we were just all having a great time.
Oh, yes. Toys are so much fun. And they're really fun to shop for, too. You really just have to open your mind and think about what sorts of things you'd like to try, because there really is so much out there that you can explore. But some of my faves are the Rose. And I actually just did a podcast episode about this. I talked about all sorts of toys. But one of my favorites is the Rose. And that's a really popular one that's, you know, recently in the last few years become super popular. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it has a slight sucking action to it, and it's a vibrator. It's a small little vibrator that looks like a rose. You can put it on your bedside. That's where I keep mine because it's quite cute. And it has multiple levels of vibration. And what I like about it is that it has a very big surface area. The petals of the rose on top have a very big surface area. So it covers a lot more area than, you know, a vibrator that is smaller or, you know, in a wand type of vibrator. This one covers more surface area. And for boomers and women who have decreased sensitivity, more surface area for stimulation is better.
I was just thinking, this house that I'm currently living in is for sale, so I have people wandering through it regularly. If I had a rose sitting on my bedside table, if I would get any comments, that'd be great.
I think people would think, oh, this lady knows what she likes, you know?
Oh, dear. Okay, orgasm equality. Does that speak for itself?
Yes and no, actually, because a lot of times people don't understand what I mean by that, right? So, of course, you know, a lot of times people will say, yeah, I believe that too. But why is it something that we even have to speak about? There's such a thing as an orgasm gap. And that's where the concept of orgasm equality comes from. So in every heterosexual relationship, from marriage all the way to hookups, you know, and everything in between, women are having less orgasms than men. So let's just talk about coupled relationships. 95% of men have orgasms regularly in coupled relationships. Only 56% of women do. So there is a huge orgasm gap. And so that's why I like to talk about orgasm equality, because, you know, we deserve orgasms too, right? We all deserve pleasure, whether we're a woman or a man. And a lot of times what we see in movies and in the media is, you know, penetrative sex, which is what men need to have an orgasm. And so a lot of times people don't realize that sex is much more than penetration, right? There's oral sex, there's touching, there's, you know, a lot of different ways to stimulate the body. And so that's what orgasm equality is all about.
Okay. Now, you said this briefly before, and I want to go back to it just because it's in my notes. I liked it. Sex is how adults play.
Yes.
Because that seems right, inherently means there is a lightheartedness to it. There's experimentation. It's just more open, I think, when you consider it play.
I agree. And think about all of the different games that you used to play as a kid, right? You didn't just play one game all the time. You liked variety. So sex is the same. Variety is the spice of life. So trying to spice things up and change things up a little bit is really nice, especially in a relationship that you've been in for a long time, because yes, people can get bored. They can get kind of stuck in a rut. And so if you look at it in a playful way and you think about it in a playful way, then you can kind of create things that would be playful in that space. And laughing, it doesn't always have to be so serious, right? Giggling, laughing, talking, is a lot of fun.
As you were saying that, it occurred to me too that, in the experimentation, shall we say, if something's not working, then laugh at it and go to something else. Like as long as it's lighthearted, then you can laugh. It's
Exactly.
not anybody's doing something wrong. It's just a matter, this isn't working.
And not every time you try something, it's going to be a home run. You know what I mean? So sometimes you're going to, strike out, and that's okay. It's nice to have those giggles together and to make, new memories. Sometimes the new memories can be silly, funny ones, and sometimes they can be mind-blowing, and just spending time and really taking time to spend with one another is so key. Because I know that a lot of times in relationships, you get bogged down by all of the responsibilities and you don't make time. So making time is super, super important.
Okay, acoustic wave therapy. Go for it.
Yes. So the treatment that I do for erectile dysfunction and decreased vaginal sensitivity and dryness is called acoustic wave therapy. And basically, what it is it's a wand that gives little shock waves into the tissue. And it comes from sound energy. And what it does is it breaks up the blockages inside of the blood vessels. And it allows for those blockages, now that they're in teeny tiny particles, to sort of flow out of your body and get processed out. And so it's a cleansing sort of treatment as well. And it also, over time, increases capillary formation. So if you know what capillaries are, they're the teeny tiny blood vessels that go to every single cell of your body. They're in every single part of your body. And so when you do this treatment, the treatment also helps to regenerate even more capillaries. So you're not only unblocking the blockages, but you're also over time creating more capillaries, which means more blood flow.
When you first talked about it, you were talking about erectile dysfunction, but it's for both men and women then.
Correct. It's the exact same treatment. The head of the machine is changed because of the different parts, but it's the exact same treatment. And the reason why women also experience dryness and decreased vaginal sensitivity, that is also a blood flow issue. A lot of people don't realize that. They think it's, something else, but it's actually a blood flow issue. And if you understand the way that a woman, gets her lubrication naturally, you would understand that it is a blood flow problem. So women, when women's bodies or the clitoris needs to become engorged in order to be prepared for sex. And so engorging is the same thing as a man getting an erection. So we do get, quote unquote, hard-ons. Women do, right? Or we're supposed to. If you're having sex prior to the body being ready or the clitoris being engorged, you might have painful sex at that point. So really preparing the tissue, getting that blood to flow to the clitoris is extremely important to getting the woman prepared. Once that blood is flowing to the clitoris and vaginal walls, what happens is that the plasma from the blood seeps through the walls of the skin and tissue to lubricate the vagina and the external vulva. So if we don't have the blood flow because there are blockages, we're not going to be able to have that plasma seeping through the walls in order to lubricate the area. So it is a blood flow problem as well.
Now, lubrication can also be externally used. What sort of product should a woman look for in terms of oil-based, water-based, you know, there's the whole gamut.
So that really depends on what sort of sex you're having, right?
Okay.
So I personally love coconut oil. You know, most people have it in their kitchen. And, you know, I always keep a little jar by my bedside, and that's a very natural, easy lubricant. But you cannot use coconut oil if you're using condoms, because it breaks down the condom. So you want to use, you know, not water-based is fine when you're not using condoms, but you will want to use something a little bit more strong, like a silicone base, in order to use condoms. So it really depends on what you're doing.
Okay, that was a good question to know the answer to. Oh, just in case there's younger women who, for whom it really matters that that condom doesn't deteriorate. Okay.
Well, you know, it's not just that the condom can deteriorate and, you know, cause pregnancy. It can, you know, STI, sexually transmitted infections, have increased in the 65 plus population in the last 10 years by double. So, you know, protecting yourself, whether you're 20 or 80, is important if you're having partners that are, you know, you're not testing with, or you're, you know, not sure of their status. So in having these conversations before you have sex is so key as well. And I talk about that a lot, but yeah, STIs have, you know, increased in the 65 plus population in the last 10 years by double. So it's very important for all women, not just younger women that are worried about pregnancy. We should all be worried about sexually transmitted infections as well.
Two thoughts come to mind. And the first one is, I guess, a question: has it increased amongst older women because we associate condoms with preventing pregnancy? And we really need to look at them in terms of STIs.
I think that these conversations all need to be had, because people are not understanding what condoms are used for. They are used to decrease STIs as well. And so, yes, you don't have to worry about having a child, right? And that's a big issue. But you also have to worry about, you know, your partners having sexually transmitted infections. So, yes, education is so key for everybody. And in particular, that population definitely needs education around protecting themselves from sexually transmitted infections. And I don't think that that's happening enough.
The other thought that I had was, many years ago, we had a very impromptu birthday party for a coworker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously most of us showed up with no gift. And I thought, oh, that's too bad, you know, because she's fun and this and that. And the next thing, when I went to the washroom, we were in a pub. When I went to the washroom, of course, there was a condom machine on the wall. So I thought, this is good fun. I bought her a couple of fancy condoms, like, I can't even remember now whether they were multicolored or whatever, just fun things. And she was a little bit older, a little bit embarrassed, popped them into her purse immediately. Next day at work, she came to me and she said, did you really look at these? And I said, no, it was just a joke, you know, like just a fun thing. And written on the wrapper of the condom, it said something along the lines of, this is a novelty item, not meant to be used if in the sexual act or to, you know, whatever. And I'm thinking, how many women would just go, oh, good, let's pick up one or two of these, because this conversation out in the pub is going well. And it turns out to be a novelty item.
That's interesting. I've never bought a condom that way before. I'm very particular about my condoms. So I often buy them online. But yes, you know, paying attention to that and paying attention to what type of condom works for you. You know, sometimes one particular condom will irritate you, but another one won't. if you know that about yourself, keeping those things in your pocketbook is really a smart idea, because you really don't know when, you know, you may need those things. And you know, if you are not married anymore, or if you are in an open relationship, you may have those opportunities come here and there. And so always being prepared. And I, you know, I often joke that the man is the one who should have the condom, right? But what if he doesn't, you know? So women, be prepared as well, you know, just in case. And if you know what works for you, keeping those condoms of choice in your purse is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just, it always stuck with me because it surprised me so much, given, you know, where it was. And then the fact that it was no guarantees whatsoever.
You would think that they, you know, would have stocked the bathroom with the right type of condom so that people could, you know, if needed, pick a couple of those up, you know, on their way to the hotel or wherever they're going, you know? So yeah, absolutely. It's very important to look at packaging, look at what you're using before you put it in your body, obviously.
Right. Okay, we've covered a fair number of subjects here.
Yes, we
what,
have.
What haven't we talked about that you want mid-age women to know? I was going to say think about, but no, you want them to know.
I think that, you know, speaking about perimenopause and menopause is so key, because a lot of times our libidos decrease during that time, and, you know, they don't have to. When you think about menopause, 1/3 of our lives are, as women, are spent in menopause. So how can you really make that time the most amazing time of your life, you know? And I think that that time can be the most amazing time sexually, because, you know, we don't have as many hangups as we did when we were younger. You know, we're kind of, post having kids. So we're not having sex for that reason. We're really just focused on having sex for pleasure. So it's important to really think about how you're going to support that part of your life as you get older. And so, you know, talking about hormone replacement is, I think, a really important topic.
Good point. I love it just when I ask you a question and then you give me an answer that goes like, oh, yeah, right. That's great. You said something there that I can't remember where I was going to go with it. Let's talk about you. You're a therapist. What does that look
yes.
like?
Well, I, you know, have a practice, and I treat people in my private practice. I also do lots of traveling around as a therapist. Oops, I just pulled off my ear. I use my hands a lot when I'm talking, obviously. I also travel around and see clients in different locations, whether it be skilled nursing facilities or assisted living facilities. I live in Florida, so I treat a lot of elderly patients as well. So, but my main focus is on really building my sexual health practice, because that is really where I find a lot of joy. I love helping people with their sexual health. So if if that's you and you're listening and you're in Palm Beach County, I would love to help you. And I also do health coaching. So if you're not local to me, we can certainly, you know, help you in different ways, you know, virtually as well.
Okay. You caught my attention there. Assisted living, older
yes.
clientele. Now, without mm-hmm. obviously breaking confidentiality or anything, what are some of the most common things you do or treat, shall I say, with an older, probably 60, 70 plus clientele?
So those clients, I don't do sexual health with. Typically I see them because they're having balance issues. They may have had a recent fall, or they may have had a recent stroke, heart attack, knee replacement, hip replacement, or any of, you know, the common things that can happen in that population. And so I treat those conditions as well. I'm a physical therapist and I do all sorts of therapy. I've sort of circulated through all of them in my career. I've been doing this for over 20 something years. So I do that as well. But sexual health is really where I'm focusing my attention most.
Okay. I've obviously just seen too many movies with Shirley MacLaine and other rabid older women. That's great. Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
So you can go to pleaseme.online. That's my website that is for my podcast and also for my practice. So you can find me there. And you can also find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And I'm sure some others that I'm missing right now. I'm pretty much everywhere. So yeah, look for me there, Eve Hall, Please Me Podcast, and you'll find me.
Okay. Tell us about your podcast.
Sure. So my podcast is it's about 10 months old now. It's relatively new. And the aim is to destigmatize conversations about sex and sexual health. And my messaging is that there is really no shame in having a sexual health condition, and that sex is not shameful. So let's talk about it, and let's all elevate our sex lives.
So if someone's listening, they need to listen and share this episode first, and then they can go listen to yours.
Yes, absolutely. You must share this episode. This one's chock full of good information.
Okay, may I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure, of course.
This is going to sound really silly. Is Eve your real name? Because I thought it so apropos that an Eve talks about sex, given the story of Adam and Eve and original sin.
I agree, which is why I use Eve specifically for my podcast. My name is actually Evelyn, and I've always gone by Evelyn my whole life. Evie for family members, and now Eve as this incarnation of Evelyn.
Oh,
Not
good. So I wasn't completely out in left field.
at all.
Okay. Anything we need to talk about before we click the close button?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. So your website link is in the show notes. All of the links, I will go find them. All of the links will be on your page at our website.
Oh, I
Listeners,
do want, I'm sorry,
yes.
I do have one more thing to say, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely.
If you want to give me a call and speak to me directly instead of reaching me via email through my website, you can call me on the OWL app, and that's OWWLL. And I'll share with you the code. It's EH576472. And I'll send that to you as well so that you can include that in the show notes if you want to talk to me directly.
That is on your website, isn't it? I think I saw that.
Yes.
Okay, so that too will be in on your page at the website. That's great. Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, please talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at the Boomer Woman's podcast at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Or, what question did I not ask Eve? This subject is huge. We couldn't cover it all in one episode. Ask your question in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Leave stars and reviews where you can. They help us expand our reach. And share this episode. We've been joking about that throughout the conversation, but the most obvious person perhaps might be your sex partner. Listen together and see where the conversation goes. Perhaps you're lucky enough to have a friend you can be completely honest with. They'll definitely appreciate you sharing. Eve Hall, thank you for being my guest today and being so open about everything and as playful as I have come to find that sex therapists are. It's just so much fun. I really appreciate it.
Of course, it's been a pleasure.
Have a great rest of week.